Amen. Amen. We're continuing our journey through the Gospels. And we have chosen to preach from passages that we find in each of the weeks as we read together. And so this Sunday we're staying in the Sermon on the Mount. And as I was thinking about what to preach this Sunday and looking through the chapters that we had chosen to be available to us, for some reason, the first part of the chapter of chapter 7 in Matthew jumped out at me, and so I chose it. Now, you need to know that I oftentimes will choose a scripture without checking to see whether or not it's in the lectionary when we're doing this sort of thing and not preaching from the lectionary. And so then I'll go to the lectionary to see where the particular passage shows up so that I can then go to all of my materials and find what other people have commented on, what they've said about a particular passage from Scripture. So I chose this passage and then went to my little dog-eared book that I've had since seminary to find Matthew 7, 1 through 5, in the lectionary. Now, luckily, in the back, there is a whole listing of, you know, and it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, start Genesis, and then goes through, and it'll tell you where particular passages are dealt with in the lectionary, what Sunday, which year, et cetera, et cetera. This passage doesn't show up anywhere. I wonder why. I do wonder why that it shows up nowhere at all. And yet, it contains probably what is one of Jesus' most memorable teachings. This business about first taking the log out of your own eye before you try to take the speck out of someone else's. Memorable, isn't it? An amazing way of looking at what it means to judge others. You see, Jesus is in this Sermon on the Mount continuing to preach on what the reign of God will look like. What will it look like if we all live according to God's presence alive in the world? To God's presence being alive in our own hearts and in our own lives. What would it look like? Praise the Lord, it doesn't look anything like it does today. But we are to live as if it were a reality, because until we begin to live as if it were a reality, it never will become a reality. Amen? You see, it's up to us to live into the reign of God, into what it's like as if God were really in control. Most of the time, we don't. Myself included. As I said last week, I've yet to meet a perfect Christian. You know, we're all kind of on the way, trying to figure it out as we go along. And we fall down and we pick ourselves up. And we fall down and somebody else picks us up. Because we're all in it together. So I have a few points to make. I have three. And for those of you who are in on that joke, Pastor Brad almost always has 3 points. even though my seminary professor, my homiletics professor, said, how many points should a sermon have? And we all said three, and he said every sermon should have at least one. So I have three, and then I have three more. Yeah. It'll all work, Jake. It'll all work. First of all, when this thing about judgment comes along, we need to remember that none of us ever know all of the facts or experiences of the other people that we are judging. We never know everything that's going on in that person's life. Amen? We barely know what's going on in ours. But each of us has a history. Each of us has life experiences, and the older you get, the more experiences you have. The younger you are, God bless you, you got a lot of experiences waiting for you. It's all good. We don't know the facts or the experiences of another person's life that may have come to cause them to act the way that they do. We just don't know. One of the things that I love to do is sort of stand in a certain place and look at the people around me. And I'm not saying here necessarily, but to look at the people around me, no matter where I am, and begin to wonder. I love to do this in airports. What is that person's life like? What is this person's life like? What have been their experiences? What has brought them to this place this day? Where are they going? Where have they been? What's going on in their lives? I wonder about those things sometimes when I look at people. Because I don't know their life story, and they don't know mine. And so it's just an interesting thing to think about. We don't know all of the facts or experiences that other people are bringing to a particular point in time. So when we judge folks, we have to remember that. We don't know their life the way they know their life. That's number one. Number two, is it really possible for any of us to be impartial? Now, you know, we like to think that judges are, but do they still bring all of their own life story? All of their experiences. One of the things that I learned coming through seminary is about the IRS and taxes. And they said, one of the things that you can do if you go to the movies, and if you use an example from the movie in your sermon, you can deduct the cost of the ticket. I went to the movies on Friday because I couldn't bear watching television. And I thought it would be really good for me to go for a particular kind of movie. So I went to see Hidden Figures. If you've not seen that movie, you really need to go see it. It's an incredible story of three young African-American women who were just simply whizzes. And I think it's interesting, they used to call people who were really good with numbers in the space program, they called them computers. This was before computers, as we know them, you know. But they were whizzes at that sort of thing. And these women were made to stay in a particular building by themselves. There were colored restrooms. This was in Virginia. And one of the women really wanted to be an engineer. And in one, the only way she could become an engineer was to take certain classes. And those certain classes were only given at a certain high school. And that certain high school was segregated. Only white folks went there. So she had to petition a judge. so that she might take those classes. And she did it in an interesting way. She went up, she said, "May I approach?" It was a white judge, of course. And she said, "You know what it's like to be first. You were the first in your family to get an education. You were the first person in Virginia to be 3 times reelected to the judgeship. You know what it's like to be first. I want to be first." She spoke to his experience, and he gave her permission to take those classes, as long as you go at night.
Yeah.
We never know all of the facts and the experiences of other people. And is it really possible for any of us to be totally impartial? Number three. Only those who have no faults at all have the right to look for faults in others. Only those who have no faults have a right to look for faults in others. Well, I know about you, but that, I think, includes all of us. If these things are true, what then are we to do? Number one. I told you I had three and then another three. The second three. What then are we to do? Number one. Look into our own hearts. Look into our own hearts. And sometimes that comes kind of as a surprise to ourselves, I think. When we look into our own hearts. Mm-hmm. One of the stories that I'm fond of telling, and I've probably told it here before, but I think it doesn't hurt to retell it. I was at an ATM machine once in the DuPont Circle area of Washington, D.C., getting some money out of the bank. And a tall African-American gentleman came to the ATM next to mine, and it became clear that he was having difficulty dealing with the machine and his card and all of this. And I said inside of myself, yeah. Now, you know, I was already a pastor. Thought I had my life pretty well connected around the race stuff, you know. But I didn't have the right heart in that instant. And I looked over and I said, "Can I help you?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, I'm going to need your PIN number, your card and your PIN." He handed me his card. You know how it has our names written on the card? Some of you may know this name. Vernon Jordan. It's one of the icons of the civil rights movement. Head of the NAACP for many, many years. Counselor to presidents. I walked away looking into my own heart for the reaction that I had inside. We need to look into our own hearts.
Come on, Pastor.
See what's going on in there. It's not always pretty. Number two, we need to ask forgiveness for our own faults.
Uh-huh.
And until you look into your own heart to see what's there, you're going to continue to think that you're perfect. And you have no need for forgiveness. I think somebody recently said that.
Yes,
We need to ask forgiveness for our own faults because we all have them. If we really are truly honest with ourselves. Number three, the point that I love best. Leave the faults of others to God. Leave the faults of others to God. You know, it's not about my trying to fix somebody else. Because I've probably got a log in my own eye when it comes to whatever it is. And it's probably just a little speck that's driving me nuts in the life of somebody else. You know what I mean? You know, some little thing that they say or do that just drives me nuts. When I've got a log hanging out of my own eye about something, whatever it might be. You see, it's not so much about judgment as it is about forgiveness. Because when we take a real close look at our own lives, we're going to find a whole lot of stuff that we need mercy for, that we need to be forgiven for. And wasn't that what God was doing in Jesus? Saying, I'm going to wipe your slate clean. Going to wipe it clean. So you can start fresh. And I don't know about you, but every morning I need to start all over again. Because almost immediately I'll start lining stuff up, you know, that I know I'm going to have to, by the end of the day, ask forgiveness for something I said or something I did or for some grudge that I'm holding on to. Somebody once said that holding a grudge is like taking poison and hoping the other guy dies. I love that. When you hang on to stuff like that about somebody else, it becomes a stone in you. The grudge that just grows, a poison that stays in there, destroys your life. They're happily going on about theirs. And you're still hanging on to whatever it was. That speck that drove you nuts. You're still hanging on to it like crazy. And that grudge just builds up. You know, especially when you start seeing them succeed. You know, or you see them having a good life. You get upset, and they're just happily going on. They have no idea that you're still hanging on to something when they've probably forgotten it long ago. I had somebody come up to me one time, and we took a walk around. We were in Richmond. We took a little walk around. See, and the person said to me, you know, I think there's something that in our relationship that's not quite right. I think I might have done something at some point. You know, can you, you know, tell me what it is so that we can forgive? And it was one of those brilliant moments for me. I said, I can't remember what it was. I just know I've been hanging on to it, whatever it was. But I can't remember in this moment what it was. And you know, it took me a while to try to figure it out. What was it that I was holding on to anyway? It took me a long time to remember. Finally did. I went, good Lord. Is that all? You got to drop it. For the sake of relationship. You let it go. You let it go. Confucius once said, if you devote your life to seeking revenge, dig two graves. Rather than revenge, it's about forgiveness. About asking forgiveness for the log in your own eye. about asking forgiveness for the stuff you're holding on to in your own heart, which does nothing but be like a poison inside of you. So Jesus did have something to say about judgment. He lived his life and he died and was raised again so that we would know about God's mercy, God's grace. And so if we are to live out God's reign on earth, we become a community that's about mercy and it's about grace and it's about forgiveness, about being able to let go. Really and truly let go, to learn from our mistakes, our own mistakes. You don't even have to look at other people's mistakes, you know. Learn from your own in order then to move on. So my prayer for us today is that we become clear about who we are, and whose we are, and we begin to live as if we really were seeking to be followers of Jesus. Amen.